Hello and welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. This is episode number 97. And this particular episode is all about the fourth P in creating a pipeline of deals. Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. So the fourth step in the creating a pipeline of deals process is persistence. It's not necessarily something which is a practical step, but it's certainly something which translates into practical action. Because if you're not persistent, it doesn't matter how much you might sit there and think about it, it's not going to get done. Persistence translates into action, but it comes from something within you. It comes from a decision to keep going even when things are tough. And it reminds me of when I trained for the London Marathon. I've run the London Marathon twice. I've run other slightly shorter distances as well, the Great North Run and other half marathons. And it's not called a marathon for nothing, as you can well imagine. If you've ever run a marathon, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. One of the challenges of running a marathon, unless you just get up one morning and decide to run the 26.2 miles, which, by the way, I would never recommend, but if you're going to run a marathon, you probably want to put in some training. And one of the difficulties of training for the marathon is when you get past training, you know, the sort of half marathon length. So let's say you go on a, you know, my training runs used to be on a Tuesday morning. I found that I could fit them in best on a Tuesday morning. Most people it's Sunday, but for me it was Tuesday. Once you get past that kind of 2 hour distance, you suddenly find that really the whole day is almost taken up in your training plan, because you might go out at 6:30 in the morning, run for 3 hours, do 15, 16, 17 miles, come back, have a bath. I used to have a long soak in the bath when I'd come back from one of those long training runs. And this would go on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And you feel as if every single week you're adding one more mile onto that long run, just so that when you enter the marathon on that final day, when the race day comes around, you're actually ready to run the full 26.2 miles. Different people give you different advice as to how many of those long runs you need to do and how far you need to go on those long runs. But I found that on my second time that I ran the London Marathon, I think I did up to about 23 miles. That was probably my longest run before I did the actual marathon. Not only does that help your body to kind of acclimatize to what it feels like to run that far, but it also is a mental issue, because it allows you to, you know, literally feel how it's going to feel on race day. And that's really important, because it's as much a mental strength, a mental challenge running a marathon, as it is a physical challenge. But it's very similar when you are creating a pipeline of deals, a property pipeline of deals. There's a huge mental challenge in doing this, and it's so easy to give up. So today's episode is about the importance of maintaining not only a focus, but a plan, having a disciplined approach to this so that your persistence doesn't let you down. Sourcing an attractive deal takes patience and it takes determination. That's because if you've put into practice the previous three steps of the process, which, let me just quickly remind you, were process, perception, and paperwork. If you understand the need for having that kind of a plan and writing it down, you're going to need persistence to carry it through, because it isn't an overnight solution. It's very unlikely you're going to find a deal immediately. I mean, you might get lucky. Fantastic. Just like you might be lucky to wake up and suddenly realize you're a born marathon runner. Hey, if only I could say the same about myself. Sadly, I'm not, which is why lots and lots of training has to go in for me to be able to run a marathon. But when we compare this to property, when we look at this as an analogy for property, I think you understand exactly what I'm trying to get at here, which is that this is a race that requires training, it requires commitment, it requires planning, and it requires execution. And that comes down to persistence. It takes time to set up the pipeline. It takes time to actually implement your strategy, your campaign, to get your leaflets out there, get your letters out there, get your social media posts out there. And it's very much a process. And it's very hard sometimes to carry on repeating that process if you're not seeing any results. And this is one of the problems, of course, is that we tend to be very impatient, don't we? We start thinking, right, I can immediately get a pipeline of deals and, you know, next week I'm going to have people phoning me and I'm going to be inundated by these amazing offers. Suddenly I'm going to be dealing with the vendor. I'm going to have to get everything ready to have my meeting with the vendor. I'm so excited about it. I only need to do this a few times and things are going to start happening. Well, you never know. That might be what happens to you. But in my experience, quite often, creating a pipeline of deals takes more like 8 to 12 months than it does 8 to 12 weeks. In fact, it might take you quite a long time before you see results from your persistence. You might get a few phone calls that lead nowhere. Vendors who aren't really prepared to compromise on the price that they want for the property or the timescale. You might feel like you're wasting your time and money with leaflets, with brochures, with letters. You might feel like what you're doing is really leading nowhere and you haven't seen a lot of success. But in property, just like investing generally, persistence pays off. Don't let your early failures or your lack of progress set you back. Why am I confident about this? Well, because I've seen it happen so many times before. Let me give you an example from my own life. We had been doing leafleting. We had been writing to landlords who were on the HMO register for many, many months. And I'd been networking and I'd been trying to find that next elusive deal. I actually had a couple of investors lined up. So I had the money in, it's not exactly my back pocket, but certainly ready to go. So I didn't have to worry so much about the finances, but I just could not find the right HMO to invest in. And I hadn't seen much progress. It would have been very easy for me to just give up and just not bother telling people what I did, giving up on the whole idea. And I really did begin to wonder, was it worth all the time and effort that I was putting in? A bit like when I've trained for a marathon, and after a few weeks or even months, you don't really feel like you're getting any faster. You don't feel like you can run any further, and you don't really feel like you're making much progress in your running. It's very easy to feel like that in property sometimes as well. It's easy to feel like you're just not making any progress at all and things are very, very slow. But it's often at that point when you can really turn a corner. In fact, how many times is it when maybe when you were younger, you started learning a musical instrument or a foreign language or some other kind of skill? And just as you were kind of getting good at it, you maybe began to plateau. But rather than pushing through on that plateau, you gave up. I mean, don't talk to me about diets. Well, that's a whole other topic. But you know what I'm talking about. Giving up just when you're about to turn that corner and really have some success. So I'd been doing leaflets, I'd been doing letters, I'd been getting out there and circulating, and I'd had a couple of people who were mildly interested, but nothing really had come of it. And then suddenly one day I get a phone call. It was an individual. He wasn't a landlord, he was a property owner. He owned a property on my top street in Crewe, one of the best streets to have an HMO. He described his property to me and I immediately knew the layout because I'd seen these properties many times before and I just knew this would make a fabulous HMO. I was so delighted that he had phoned me because I suddenly realised that all the effort that I'd been making was worth it. He didn't want to pay for an estate agent to sell his property. He decided that it wasn't worth his while for many different reasons. And actually, I think he was a little bit concerned about the cost of using an estate agent. So having seen my leaflet, in fact, I think he said to me that he'd seen three of my brochures and he'd kept one of them because on the third time that he'd seen the brochure, it kind of caught his eye and he was then ready to start selling his property. So I was first in the queue. And this was so exciting for me because I realized at that point that you've got to keep going. Finding that elusive property, finding the elusive first four or five properties from your individual marketing campaign is going to take time. You're not going to build up your reputation overnight. In fact, you really need to be getting out there and doing a few rounds of leafleting and campaigning before people will start to recognize you. Don't imagine that on the first round they're going to get your leaflet and stick it on the fridge or give you a phone call. No, they're not. It's probably going to go in the bin. But after a few times, they'll recognize that you are committed and you're a local person who really wants to help them. So by being known in my local area, I had a distinct advantage when it came to buying or negotiating this deal. The fact was that this particular gentleman had owned the house for some time. It needed quite a bit of work to make it attractive to a family buyer. And this was one of the reasons why he didn't want to go to an estate agent. He was quite concerned that the estate agent would downvalue the property because of the work that was needed. So he didn't have the cash to invest in the property to make it into a more attractive option to sell. But equally, he didn't want to reduce the value of the property. So what I was able to do is to sit with him and work out exactly what he needed to move on. I used the tools that I've described to you in previous episodes. I sat down and worked out what his debt was. I sat down and worked out what he needed to be able to make the move. And for some people, sitting down with somebody and working out those next steps is not what an estate agent will do. The estate agent is interested in selling the house. They're not necessarily interested in the person. They don't have a think about what's this seller going to be doing next. But what you're doing is coming at this with a slightly different angle. You're thinking about the person behind the sale as well as the property itself. And once I was able to create a win-win solution that worked for us both, he was absolutely delighted. He saved money that otherwise he would have spent with an agent, enabling him to put more money towards a smaller house, but also it enabled me to get a really good deal on that particular property. Now, in this situation, knowing those strategies that you can use, lease options, delayed completion, rent to rent, these are all creative strategies that allow you to implement them when you see that the vendor is in the right position. And in fact, in this case, we did a delayed completion. He allowed us to buy the property upfront, well, to control the property upfront, do the refurb, and then at the end of it, pay him a fixed fee for that property. What we were able to do was to execute the mortgage for the purchase at the same time as the refurb. So this enabled us to get the money back and then immediately pay him. So it was a linked transaction, but it worked very, very efficiently and very well, and actually made us a bit of profit as well. Now, this worked incredibly well, and I was delighted that we got it over the line. But if you're sitting there thinking, well, I just haven't seen any results yet, Wendy, of my campaigning, that's why the fourth P is persistence, because I would urge you not to give up. Now, some of the things that have always helped me when I've been feeling like, you know, is my campaigning really working? Am I going to be getting anywhere? What you'll find is that over time, while you're campaigning, the market will shift and change. The housing market is quite a slow market, but it does shift and change over a period of 12 months. I'm sure if you keep your eyes on the news, you'll see this, whether it's interest rates, inflation, more properties coming onto the market, fewer properties coming onto the market, different mortgage products being on offer, government legislation. All of these factors affect the housing market. And over a period of a year, if you determine that you're going to be running various campaigns over a year's period, you will also see there'll be certain times in the year when your campaign attracts more attention than others. Well, what you want to be doing is being ready to be able to bite when the market is ripe and ready. And if you are not doing this at that point because you've given up, you'll be missing all the opportunities. You've been sowing seeds into the ground and suddenly it's now spring and they're sprouting and you've gone off to do something else. So that's why persistence really counts. You have to commit yourself to this. And I would recommend that you commit yourself to a period of between 12 and 18 months to really see some of these strategies coming to fruition. Number one, I would say you must set yourself some goals. And I'm talking about goals of productivity, not of results. At this stage, setting goals for results is too early. You want to set yourself productivity goals. In other words, how many campaigns are you going to be running per year? What will those campaigns consist of? How much are you going to invest to produce leaflets, brochures, letters to get those out? And have you got everything ready in your system so that when people do start to respond, you're ready to reply and you're ready to respond back to them? Number two, remember that progress is better than procrastination. Don't expect everything to be perfect from the get-go. You're not going to have everything perfect. Your leaflet might have a couple of spelling errors on it. Maybe your letters aren't absolutely perfect, or your database isn't complete. Don't worry. Just start somewhere. You don't have to be perfect to get started. Number three, adjust as you go. As you learn, once you've done your first campaign, you might find that actually campaigning in a slightly different adjacent postcode area might be better. You might find that advertising in certain shops gets you more response than in others. Well, in that case, stop advertising in those shops or using that methodology that isn't getting you anywhere. Adjust as you go is a very important principle that you take on board learnings and then plan for those. Number four, it's a process rather than a product. We're not looking for results at this stage, we're simply looking for activity. Persistence is all about activity. You will get the results if you keep going and when you pay attention to the mundane. One of my friends once said to me, 80% of what you do in property is mundane. And when she said that to me, you know, I really thought, yeah, I can completely relate to that. A lot of it is doing the boring, dull, repetitive, uninteresting stuff. And that's what yields the results. So take that on board as you continue to be persistent in creating your pipeline of deals. And finally, remember Edison's famous words, when you're tired and you feel like you're getting nowhere, and whether you're training for a marathon or you're implementing your pipeline of deals, this is what Edison said. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. So I would leave you with those words of Thomas Edison, who had hundreds of iterations of the light bulb until he actually found the perfect solution and created the light bulb that we all use and love today. Well, of course, we now use LED light bulbs. But anyway, he invented, I think, the first tungsten light bulb. The point is that it's persistence that matters. And anybody who's achieved anything in life has carried on, even when things were tough, even when mile 21, 24, 26 was just around the corner and they wanted to stop. They kept going until they crossed that finish line. So let me encourage you today to keep going until you cross that finish line, until you create your pipeline of deals. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.